Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've had a lot to unpack this week with the John Robinson situation. We've talked about the firing, the reasons for the firing, what the plan for the Titans could be as they move forward, what is Mike Vrabel's role going to be. There's a lot that we've dissected with this John Robinson situation with the Titans. One thing that I do want to get your thoughts on that we've not spent a ton of time talking about is just the simple question of John Robinson is Titans GM. What should his legacy be? How should John Robinson be remembered as Titans GM? We'll take your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But Joe Rex Road, you can go first. I pose that question to you. What should John Robinson's legacy be as Titans general manager?
Well, he's one of, you know, I struggle because you could go back. I mean, you know, the old AFL Oilers were great from the start. So, you know, if you want to do the entirety of the franchise, I don't know how many great general managers there are. I mean, you know, Bum Phillips was his own. He was head coach and GM, and they had good teams. But to me, he's one of two great GMs because Bum Phillips still primarily a coach, and it was a short tenure. It's Floyd Reese and John Robinson, and then a lot of really kind of, you know, just people kind of passing through, you know, a lot of short tenures and unsuccessful tenures. He's one of the two best general managers in the history of certainly of the Titans, but I think you could argue of the franchise. Going back to the 60s, Floyd Reese is number one. And I, you know, look, I thought John Robinson had a chance. You know, this thing is another thing is, you know, interesting about this, of course, is obviously Floyd and John were close. And, you know, when Floyd passed away, John, I remember got John on the phone that day talking about one, how Reese had gone to bat for him, how Floyd really went to bat for him, even though Floyd, obviously, it wasn't. He didn't really talk to people over there a whole lot during that time period, but he did to go to bat for John Robinson. And I thought that John Robinson had a chance to, you know, get close and also take a team to the Super Bowl like Floyd did and get close to, you know, Floyd was over 100 wins. And that obviously isn't going to happen. So he's number two. He's a strong number two. And he's also, if you want to talk about legacy and just beyond like rankings, the legacy is that he completely turned around arguably the worst franchise in the NFL at that point. They were certainly, record-wise, they were the worst for those two seasons. But just overall, with everything that had gone on, you know, the sellout streak stuff and firings and all these things, they were in a bad spot. And he turned them into a respectable, consistently successful organization. And if Mike Vrabel goes on to be just Belichick part two, remember, John Robinson drove the bus on firing Mike Mularkey, which was not popular at the time, or it wasn't wildly popular anyway.
Yep.
And on getting Mike Vrabel, who had 1 year with one of the worst defenses in the NFL as a D coordinator, and that's pretty good among all those moves John Robinson made. He may have added a Hall of Fame player here in Derrick Henry and a lot of other really good players. The legacy should be overwhelmingly positive.
Well, the legacy for me is he is chiefly responsible for changing the direction of the Titans franchise. And look, Vrabel, I think, is a great coach. And I think we've talked about this week. Vrabel, there's no question about it, has done a better job at his job over the past few years than John Robinson did at his. I mean, it's not arguable. It is what it is. So I recognize that. But going back to what the team was, and I know as it relates to the discussion now and what this team could be for the remainder of this season and moving forward, nobody cares what the Titans were in 2015. I understand that. But I was here. I saw what they were in 2013, 2014, 2015, and they were garbage Complete and total garbage. On the field, off the field, they were a mess. It was just brutal every single Sunday. And John Robinson comes in and immediately starts to move things around. And, you know, he came in, he inherited the quarterback in Mariota. They made some big moves. He had the number one overall pick. He traded it. And that was kind of the launching point to getting the Titans back to respectability, getting them back to being a competitive team. And he got them to where making the playoffs is now the expectation for the Titans. Making the playoffs is now the expectations. And it wasn't that long ago. It really wasn't that long ago where making the playoffs was more of a pipe dream than it was the expectation with this franchise. So he deserves full credit for changing that. To me, he is the chief person in charge that is responsible for changing that. Now, it's impossible for me to deny that over the course of the past couple of years, way more moves went wrong than went right, especially big moves for John Robinson during the end of his tenure. And you can't ignore that. And I think TD phrased it this way earlier this week. He got them to being really good, and he couldn't really get them to being a great elite team. And I get that. I mean, and part of that is as simple as the quarterback. We've talked about this ad nauseum at the quarterback position. Titans don't have Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or any of those guys. So it's hard to maintain an elite status when you don't have one of those guys. But like, I know that there's been, quite frankly, a surprising amount to me of like dancing on the grave of John Robinson this week as his tenure as general manager of the Titans. And I hope that eventually, as we kind of get past all this, you look back and recognize that, yeah, that dude did a pretty good job here as GM of the Titans, even though, like I said, last couple of years, a lot of the big moves have been rough.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the product, the team's not as good this year, and the product reflects a lot of those mistakes. So if you're a fan who watches them every week and you're like, gosh, wish some touchdowns would happen every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, great.
I mean, I get like right now, you're mad at the mistakes, so I get it. But, yeah, I would hope the same thing. And you mentioned the quarterback, and that's another part of this that just – it's wild to me that you could have that kind of success and never get a chance to draft a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And it's just – he inherited the franchise quarterback that had just been drafted by Rustin Webster, you know, a year before his first draft. So, of course, you're going to – I mean, when a franchise invests in a guy like that, you're going to you're going to ride that out. I mean, someone this week told me, you know, the big – what you need to look at with Robinson is who he didn't take, not who he did take. I'm like, okay, what do you mean? You know, Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, okay. He could have taken Patrick Mahomes in his second draft, but Marcus Mariota had just had a tremendous second year. 26 touchdowns, 9 picks, 3,500 yards. It looked to me, at least, maybe not to you.
If he would have taken Mahomes in that draft, he'd have been crushed for it.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's the thing is like Mahomes, first of all, like obviously was way undervalued by everybody in the draft because of how low he went. I mean, that was the Trubisky. Good job, Bears. That was the Trubisky draft.
Okay? It's easy to say now, but you have to put yourself in the position that they were in then. It would have made no sense for them to draft Patrick Mahomes back.
No sense. No one talked about it. No one said a peep about any of the quarterbacks because, again, it's so easy to revise history and go back and look back and say, God, Mariota? But at that point, he was the franchise quarterback, the number two pick, and he had a second year that pointed toward really good stuff. His third year basically got Malarkey fired.
Yeah.
So that was after that draft. But that's the thing about it, is just the quarterback, he never got that chance. And I really thought he was going to get that chance. Now, to get that chance, a lot of times you have to be bad, and they may be coming up here. They got some tough decisions, and it's not going to be easy to keep winning the AFC South year after year here. I mean, they could go – backward, and maybe it's necessary sometimes to do that, as we've talked about with another professional sports team in this town.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What should John Robinson's legacy be as Titans general manager? We'll have more on that coming up next. Are you still looking for Christmas gifts? Check out Nashville's Best Deals and get half off gift cards to Joyland, Old School Pizza, Seafood Sensations, River Queen Voyages, and more. You can visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 105-106.3, The Game.
to John at all yesterday and just tell him anything?
Yeah, we had a personal conversation, and that's the thing about John. His door is always open to us to come in and talk throughout the years. I definitely did that a lot with him. I definitely appreciate him throughout the years of, you know, helping me. He drafted me. He might pass on me two or three times, but he still got me here, and definitely appreciate him, what he's done for me and my family, and just a fun ride to be able to come in and help him change the culture and help turn this organization around.
That was Derrick Henry yesterday on John Robinson. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of that, I got a pair of tickets to give away. Before you can buy them, to see the Goo Goo Dolls at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on Friday, August 25th, be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Goo Goo Dolls at Ascend Amphitheater on Friday, August 25th, 615-737-1025. So we're throwing the question out there, what should John Robinson's legacy be as general manager of the Tennessee Titans? We've already got some interesting responses. Matt from Kentucky says his legacy is easy. He got fired with 5 games left in a winning season. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. So you're just remembered for your firing. Wow. That's a grim view of the world.
I guess so.
Jeez. Yeah, what is Gandhi's legacy? He died. Enough said. Died. Okay.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I didn't expect you to pull Gandhi out of that.
I mean, all that matters, what happened? Did you live eternally? Well, then, that's your legacy. Bye. Jeez, man.
Oh, man. Noah from Springfield on the text line. Robinson had more good moves than bad, but his bad moves impacted the team more than the good ones. I don't know if I'd go there. I don't know if I believe that. Like, God. I think that's a very popular take this week.
It's a bad take.
I don't think that's true.
Guys, they were the number one seed in the AFC last year. So that was purely bad players who were coached amazingly by Vrabel? Go through all the players on the football team last year who had the best record in the AFC who needed 2 wins to win the Super Bowl. It's true, it was the quarterback he picked who, on that day, did a lot of damage, okay?
Yeah.
To a lot of, with the way he played. But, those football players were chosen by John Robinson. They've won the, I can't understand how, if you're happy, if you think it was a good move, you may be right.
Sure.
You may end up being right.
Yeah.
And you are right to be mad about some of these mistakes, without question. I think this is a great example of, and because I don't think we do it nearly as much as we do like coaches and players and stuff. This is a great example of, I think the people are missing the context of being a GM in the NFL. Dude, they all have all kinds of misses and mistakes and botched picks and signings. Some way more than others, of course. And some make critical mistakes, and A.J. Brown was a critical mistake by John Robinson.
Yep.
But, dude, these teams that have been winning all these games were built by him.
Chuck on the text line says, you don't get to draft a franchise quarterback if you have winning seasons. So are we already calling Malik Willis a bust? This is from Chuck on the text line.
No, but what I'm saying is that that's a third-round pick.
Yes.
I mean, no one drafts a quarterback in the third round and says, oh, there's your friend. Look, who knows? Malik Willis could turn out to be a starter or a great player. But what I'm saying is someone drafted at the placement of being a franchise quarterback. And you're right. If you win, you don't get to get there. That's the hard part. Like, there isn't tanking in this league like there is in other leagues at times. And when you, frankly, when you have a good culture and a good winning situation, it is hard. It's hard to get to the point where you can draft at the very top to get one of those guys.
JC in Goldsville says, this is how close this is. I think a healthy Lawan and Isaiah Wilson not going off the deep end when he got paid. Titans are rolling with Henry running the ball. Burks becoming a number one wide receiver. Just some tough breaks that cost him the time to correct 2 subpar drafts. This from JC in Goodsville on the text line.
Yeah, there's some bad luck part of this, too, but
part of it.
There's bad luck. you know, most teams have some of that too. But real quick, I just the Derrick Henry that comment. I'm like, he passed up on me a few times. I was like, you're second rounder, but actually he was right because it was Conklin, and then he was the third pick of theirs.
Second round.
Yeah, it was, and then it was Kevin Dodd and Austin Johnson, and then Derrick Henry. And by the way, just trip down memory lane real quick. I'd been here like a week.
Yeah.
At the Tennessean. And so, like, you come to a new market and you're trying to, like, follow all the different people who are in media and stuff. And I found Jared Stillman.
Yeah.
And I still remember, like, when they drafted Derrick Henry because we were all at Titans headquarters in it. Jared tweeted, like, oh, my God, a terrible pick.
You're joking.
Oh, no.
I've never heard this take.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they had DeMarco Murray at the time.
Yes.
And he was really good.
But I'll be honest, I wasn't sure. With Derrick Henry, I wasn't sure he would translate as well to the NFL because he wasn't a pass catcher. And I was like, I don't know. Alabama, they dominate people. I mean, that's why I went in the second round. There were some questions about – and they had just signed DeMarco Murray. But, yes, that is another take.
That needs to be added to the wrap, Rex.
Yes.
Raymond on the text line says, he'll be remembered as the guy who made the 102.5 host combative against their fans for a week. Can we discuss the game this week? Well, Raymond, we discussed the game for 30 minutes.
Shut up, Raymond. I'm just kidding.
We've literally discussed the game this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. We've just, I mean, Raymond, I'm not trying to be combative. I want to be very calm.
I want to be very clear.
And maybe I should speak slowly for people
just in
on
case our
the app.
App. But still, fast forward.
Raymond, this is, it's funny because this is, I've been asking people who have been here a lot longer than me. And I'm getting, like Beau Claire the other day, like, this is the most shocking news I've covered here. So, I mean, this is huge, huge news. I think it's probably behooves us to talk about the huge news and the big picture direction of the franchise over Titans-Jags. Not that I'm not excited about the game, Raymond.
Why wouldn't you be?
I'm not being combative, Raymond.
I mean, who wouldn't be excited about this Titans offense and a potentially Trevor Lawrence-less Jags coming up on Sunday?
Tell you what, you got Titans, Jags, and pretty soon you got Kentucky, Iowa coming up in there. Got some offense coming to Nissan Stadium, my friends.
Coming that way.
Yeah, with no Will Levis or Chris Rodriguez. Yeah. So basically, there's no offense at all.
You get to see the future of your team.
I don't want to.
Don't worry. Graham Hurts might be on the way. Josh on the text line says, well, Monday I still wasn't off the JR train. Tuesday I had no choice but to be. I'm not too happy with the move. I think he and Mr. Reese are 1A and 1B. The really bad move may have just outweighed the really good moves. This from Josh on the text line. It's a reasonable take.
Yeah, well, and again, it's just that the really bad moves came in a cluster.
Yes.
Recently. And no, we are seeing the effects of them. I mean, no argument that John Robinson, I mean, it's a tough run. And that's another thing about this week with the discussion around this. Largely one show in particular, you know, I think it's a mistake. I was shocked by it, but you can talk through several moves, not just AJ, right? As we have done, where it's like, you know, if you're owning this team, you can tick off this, including again, two high picks that you were hoping we're going to start and be good this year, who are nowhere to be found right now. Caleb Farley, as you mentioned earlier, had a back surgery yesterday. So,
microdiscectomy.
Yeah, which I won't try to mess that word up.
You've said that before.
Sciatica.
And then that word quickly followed.
Yeah. Is that right? Did we actually say that word during that segment too?
We did.
Yeah. I mean, to have that, but in all seriousness, to have that again.
That's not good.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things that add up to being mad at him or being concerned. I mean, makes sense. It's not like, I mean, we're still going to try to find, like, what did he do, you know? I mean, it's a clear picture of mistakes and wrong direction. It's just the question of, okay, then what is your plan?
Yeah.
Did he actually have to be fired? I say no.
Brandy on the text line says, as a fan of another team living in Nashville, I must say I find all this very entertaining. All the conspiracy theories have been a lot of fun to dive into. It's from Brandy.
So much fun. Line.
Thank you, Brandy.
I got one from Jared last night that, well, I just, let me just say.
Let me just say.
I just hope that Jared brings it to the air today. Bring it to the air, Jared.
I do too.
I dare you.
Jeff on the text line says, can the Titans clinch this week? Jeff and Waverly. I don't think officially.
Yeah, because the Colts don't play. So the Colts, I mean, the Colts have to lose again. So no. But if they win this week.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah, if they win this week, then I think you're, like, worst case is like you're playing for the division against the Texans at home, you know?
Right.
And you have a very decent chance that it's done by before then anyway. But that's like worst case if you win this week. So basically it's over if you win this week.
Austin from Clarksville.
We just talked about the game.
We did.
Did you hear that? Austin, Raymond?
Austin from Clarksville says, do you think Tannehill will feel directly responsible for this firing? If J-Rob went to the Super Bowl or AFC Championship game, I can't imagine he would have been fired. This from Austin from Clarksville. I mean, I did think about that in all seriousness.
I'm going to be honest with you. I thought about that too. And if you're Tannehill, you know, I mean, you've got enough to worry about, I guess. But, hey, man. I mean, seriously, if that team last year, first of all, he still got the big extension after that anyway.
Yeah.
Let's remind you of that. Again, you want to talk about shocking. There's where it's like, huh? But, yeah. What if they would have just gotten to the Super Bowl? I mean, honestly, that's fair. Like, had they won one game, then you would say they've been to the AFC Championship game 2 years out of three.
Yeah.
Pretty sure you're not firing that guy. So, one game. I mean, again, there's the mistakes he's made would still stand. If he still traded AJ after that, my God, you think about that still, and it's like, what are you doing? A lot of stuff happened since then, but it'd be a lot harder to sell that, wouldn't it? Off one game.
I would think so.
But this is also why people, like, I don't understand how we know what this team is. It's been disappointing, and it's hard to watch, and there are mistakes by him that have led to that, but they were the number one seed last year.
I know. People don't care. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get to some interesting comments from Taylor Lewan yesterday regarding his future as a Tennessee Titan. Make sure you tune in for the NFL pregame this Sunday, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in our friend Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, I got a game prediction, but I will say about 3 minutes ago, I thought of something that I have not thought of yet, and it scared me. What if we lose this freaking game on Sunday?
It's possible.
It is possible.
It changes the whole, like, my whole feeling about this season and what we could possibly do if we, because we have to play them twice. And it's not like this lead is astronomical. I mean, it's not catchable. So if we lose at home, then you got to assume we're going to lose on the road to them. And then we've got a few games in there that are probably losses. So this might be the most important game of the season, especially the week that you fire your dude. Like, this could be a problem. But with that said, I'm going to pick the Titans 24-10. I think it's going to be something like that. Hopefully we'll be able to get the run game going a little bit. But I'm nervous. I'm nervous now about this game. I hope we start off fast. We got too many dudes on the I did not practice list for yesterday for me to feel confident, so hopefully that changes today.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, to his point, with the injuries the Titans have sustained, and look, just the way – I've said this multiple times. I don't think the Titans are capable of blowing anybody out I just don't. With their offense, it's going to be really hard. Unless you have, like, turnovers and, you know, pick sixes gift-wrapped it to you the other way. Like, I don't think the Titans are really capable of blowing anybody out. So, I have no doubt that this is probably going to be a close game coming up on Sunday between the Titans and the Jags, particularly if Trevor Lawrence plays. Like, I understand if you're a Titans fan being nervous heading into this game. Now, I will say, even if they lose the game, they're still going to be in a good spot. Yes, that would mean that Jacksonville has a chance to play you again at home at the season finale and beat you. It also is going to require Jacksonville to still continue beating other teams as well, outside of just the Tennessee Titans. And I don't have very much confidence they're going to do that.
So let's play it out that Jacksonville wins. So now they're 5-8. The Titans are 7-6. So 2-game lead for the Titans. Obviously, Jacksonville has that tiebreaker. Let's take it to the end.
Yep.
And let's say that's a win too. So now let's add to the record. So now 6-8 Jags, 7-7 Titans, clear tiebreaker for the Jags.
Yep.
Well, they basically have the same schedule in between those games. They both have the Cowboys at home. They both play the Texans. The Jags have to go to the Jets. The Titans have to go to the Chargers. I don't know which one you think are tougher. I think when the Chargers play well, I mean, they certainly have a passing offense that could bother the Titans.
Jets,
the
defense
are
way
very
better.
Yep. Jets are much better defensively. But, I mean, I think that's a comparable assignment, right?
Agreed.
Okay. So, a one-game lead where if you tie, but basically then, you know, if you tie, the Jags win the division. Is it possible for the Jags to go 2-1 in those games and the Titans to go 1-2 in those games?
It's possible.
It's possible.
I would not say it's likely, but it's possible.
I mean, the surprise there would be the Jags beating either the Cowboys or the Jets.
Well, quite frankly, the surprise would be the Jags beating the Titans twice too. Like I just
No. Yeah. Well, no, I understand that.
I know.
I think the Titans are going to win Sunday, but I'm just saying.
I know.
If you just go to Sunday and the Jags win, like it does change things. It certainly, like we were talking about earlier, it makes it a lot less comfortable where the Titans now have to like do everything they can longer rather than rest people and try to get ready for an actual playoff game.
Taylor Lewan had some interesting comments yesterday. He was on Up and Adams on FanDuel TV with Kay Adams and talked about a variety of different things, but also got to some interesting comments about what his future could look like with the Tennessee Titans. Here's what Taylor Lewan had to say on Up and Adams with Kay Adams.
And when this John Robinson news fell, I thought of you. I thought of you right away because I know that you're in this. What's going to happen? I have 1 year left. Do I restructure? Are they going to let me go? So when that happened, as you sit on it 24 hours later, like how is that going to affect you?
I think if you were to say what happens to Taylor Lewan with the Tennessee Titans after this season ends, you would likely assume that I'm released from the team probably February or March. That is something that, you know, you play in this game long enough, you see how the dominoes fall. And like I said before, 2 ACLs in 3 years, it's kind of hard for people to wrap their minds around keeping me in the building. I've been fortunate to be a part of this team for 9 years and see 100% turnover of this team. That's something that I hold precious to myself and I take a lot of pride in. Seeing being the longest tenured Titan here, but when I heard the news about John, you know, you kind of like when you're in this building and I'm here from an IR standpoint. So I come in the building when the guys are in meetings, but it was a Tuesday, and usually that's your universal off day at the in the NFL. So you could feel something was going on. There seemed like a sense of urgency. You know, there were meetings happening quickly. There were a bunch of stuff, and as a player who's been here, you know, hey, someone probably was let go. For John Robinson. When he came in here, he had the number one overall pick in the 2016 draft. And a lot of people were saying, hey, Taylor Lewan needs to go to right tackle. We need to draft the left tackle, blah, 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 all that stuff. And I took that extremely personally. And the first conversation John and I had was John asked me, he's like, hey, what do you think about this number one overall pick? And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, what do you think about us taking a tackle? And I mentioned to him in that conversation, I looked him in the eyes and I said, hey, that's a lot of money to spend on a right tackle because I'm your left tackle. And since then, our relationship and how we have, you're with somebody for 8 years, 7 years, it's a you gain a special relationship with somebody, even with a GM who keeps things close to the vest, came from the New England Patriots, has that type of mentality, that Bill Belichick mentality, where he has to keep a level of separation from the team. It's heartbreaking. He's got an amazing family. He's got a couple of great little girls, and they've been around this building for a long time. And I think people, although I think if the pulse in Nashville, from what I've gathered from other media members and stuff, was it was time for John to go. But I think it's really important that people realize what John did for this franchise. We were in a dire state of irrelevance. We were a team that went 9-7. We did win a playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs, but there was, you could see that was our ceiling at that time. And John made a very difficult decision firing Mike Mularkey and bringing in Mike Vrabel.
That was Taylor Lewan on Up and Adams with Kay Adams on FanDuel TV. And I thought it was interesting. I mean, the first part of that answer there, I mean, she asked him directly about his future with the team. And his quote was, "If you were to say what happens to Taylor Lewan with the Tennessee Titans after the season ends, you would likely assume that I'm released from the team." And look, nothing you said there is like surprising. We've talked about that. Like, I think it is probably the most likely scenario that Taylor Lewan is released. I don't know that I hear players like admit that very often. And that, I thought that was interesting from Taylor Lewan yesterday.
Yeah, well, Taylor Lewan is more, you know, open, honest, and willing to go wherever a lot of people won't go, you know, in comments. He'll be badly missed by the media, let me tell you.
He will.
I'm still, I think he's probably right. I still think there's, well, for whoever would be having the discussion, a discussion worth having about a pay cut situation and bringing him back. I know that I'll probably get more people on the text line fired up. But look at your situation right now. You need to go find your next left tackle. In the meantime, if you want to be competitive next year, I think potentially a healed Taylor Lewan could help you. Maybe not. Maybe, like you said, two ACLs in 3 years. After the miles he's logged in the NFL, he may be done. But I thought, I mean, even last year, later in the year, he looked like a pretty good starting left tackle. And it wasn't that long ago that he was an all-pro or Pro Bowl level left tackle. There's a huge difference between what he can do and, like, the guy you have starting at left tackle now, for example. And you can go draft one, for sure. And that's probably, right now, I guess that'd be my guess.
Well, you're going to have to either way.
Yeah.
You don't have to draft a left tackle.
But, I mean, like, are you – so, but, you know, they could be a second or third. Yeah, it could be a little bit later in the draft, maybe.
If it's not him, it's got to be first round, I think.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. But even then, like, you know, you may be fine. Start right away with a rookie. And then also, you might have some rookie. It comes down to, like, I mean, what does the overall picture look like next year? Is it, like, step back time? Or can they, if they fix that, this, make some cuts, can they actually come back and be, you know, have a better roster next year? I mean, that hole has got to be filled. I'm just saying, if Taylor Lewan is going to retire or else he's going to play here and he would take a significant pay cut, I'd have the discussion.
I would absolutely have that discussion. I mean, Taylor Lewan on a much cheaper contract would be a discussion worth having, I think. Especially, like I said, I think you're going to have to draft a left tackle in the draft next year either way at some point, whether that's first round, second round, third round, wherever it is. And somebody else is going to be doing the drafting, so we'll see how that goes for the Titans next year. But I think it's absolutely a conversation worth having. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Shot me out of the sky. You're my kryptonite.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe, I turn things over to you.
Well, it's another week with no Rob Rant, no Red Rant. Glad everything's going awesome for you two.
Yeah, I guess I could have done one. Also, good news, everyone. The Instagram is not hacked anymore. We got the account shut down.
That's good.
Let's go.
There we go.
Oh, that's good.
Small victories this week.
Wait a minute. When you say you got it shut down, you mean you got it back?
Oh, sorry. No. I didn't mean hacked. I meant somebody just pretended to be me and
separate accounts.
Oh,
separate
account. The fake account.
Yeah.
I thought you got hacked too. You didn't get hacked too?
No,
thank God.
Oh, okay. I was confused on that.
But you never know what they know. I just needed to get out of there.
Yeah.
But we're good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Good. Well, I guess everything is going great then.
Everything's peachy.
Yeah. I actually could switch out. It's been a chill week. I could switch out and go to the reaction to the Luan stuff, which, of course, and I knew it. But,
I knew it as soon
well, you're
going to
pay him any money, he's just going to get hurt.
I knew it. I knew our buddy Dustin from Hopkinsville, who, by the way, we love. I knew as soon as we started talking about Taylor Luan.
Yeah.
I knew he'd be on there.
Okay. Yeah, what does Dustin say? Oh, my God, it's free money if you keep him. Luan has to go. He'll miss half the season. He's a permanent water boy now.
Dustin's been talking about cutting Taylor Luan for 3 years.
Yeah. You know what, Dennis? You should be forced to watch sit in Jared's fill room, but on like just focused on left tackle this week.
Dustin,
just watch left tackle in hashtag Jared's film room.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, but I won't. I'm gonna go to this is just an evergreen.
Okay,
it's a good time to do it because it came to me on Twitter last night. Came to me in my mentions, and so I was like, yep. I'll go ahead and address this right now. Let's see. Last night, a lot of Vols talk, a lot of Jalen Hyatt talk. also had some ugly sweater day talk, like, you know, Wes Rucker wearing sweatpants to a game. Wes, wear real pants to a game when you cover it, buddy, okay? But I had a tweet, you know, Jalen Hyatt did a Zoom last night after he won the Blitnikoff.
Yep.
And, you know, he's talking about, you know, he was nervous and all that stuff. So Davis Lundy, @Wally_Lundy, quote tweeted that and said, so is the Vols' reward for making this happen is that Hyatt declares and then leaves his team hanging in the Orange Bowl?
Oh, boy. Here we go. A lot of that this week, by the way.
Yeah, and I guess it's like at this point, it's just never going to end. Like in the early days – and honestly, I was a little bit uncertain, too. In the early days of opt-outs, I was a little bit like, do you hurt yourself in the eyes of a GM? You know, the idea of culture and team, and it's we before me and all this stuff. You know,
yes,
that?
Rex Road. No, like keep ranting is what I mean.
Oh,
yeah,
I
yeah.
Thought it was
yeah. No, no. Oh, because I have an addition to that after.
Okay,
you.
If you'd like to, you're welcome to join
you
in.
Sparked
yeah.
a red rat.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, if you're good enough, you're good. And it's at this point, I would think that we've gotten to the point where this is kind of a normal thing. We wouldn't have to bitch about it anymore. But apparently, somebody wants to bitch about it all the time. And you know, you put yourself in the shoes of someone like Jalen Hyatt right now, and tell me you'd be like, well, you know. Sure, I might get my knee caved in this meaningless bowl game, but hey.
Lose millions of dollars.
The Vols made this happen for me. It wasn't my own work. I didn't score the 5 touchdowns to help them beat Alabama. They did it for me, so I owe them something. I at this point, it's really less of a rant. It's more resignation that like we're just always going to have someone who says something stupid like this every time.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the NFL part of this, because I did wonder that too for a while. And then I saw Ja'Marr Chase,
right,
who not only opted out of a game, opted out of an entire season, and didn't hurt him in the draft. And he came in, and lo and behold, his first year last year, he was good enough where, along with his quarterback, took a team to a Super Bowl in his first year. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, I think it's going to be okay when people opt out as they move forward.
Yeah. Now, granted, he's Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes.
He's a ridiculous talent. Yeah, I mean, like, do you go through the pros and cons with someone who's a fringe player who opted out? I guess. But, again, we've gotten to the point now where it's it's a norm. It has been normalized, okay? And so we're still going to keep talking about this?
I got to call someone out.
Who you got?
Chad Withrow.
Okay.
Tweeted because Will Levis opted out.
Uh-huh.
Right? No surprise to anyone.
Yep.
At Mel Kiper, how about those leadership skills? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So just stop it. I just think it's ridiculous.
I like
Listen,
the call out.
If you were in that situation, and yes, I know Will Levis is my quarterback, so I have to go to bat right now. Well, not anymore. I don't know what NFL team he's going to go to, but listen, I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. You have, what if you tear your ACL? Like plenty of times we've seen people get hurt in bowl games and you're like, ooh, there's a lot of money they're about to lose. And yes, I know we have NIL now, which helps these players like make money. So it's not the end of the world. But if you're a first round draft pick, that is just, why would you even risk it? And Will Levis has, his offensive line sucks so bad, like he probably would get hurt.
Yeah. I mean, look, so Withrow, obviously a huge Tennessee fan.
Oh, I know
if,
he is.
If you flip that around and it was the exact same situation and it was Hendon Hooker, he would not be tweeting at Mel Kiper about his leadership.
Well, I mean, Mel Kiper also did put, I think Will Levis is the number one overall pick.
He did.
Which I think was the point of the tweet. But yes, I hear you.
Right, but your point is right because
from another Tennessee fan, Robbie.
Here we go. Saying,
like the idea of him being number one overall pick is
But that's
ridiculous.
Separate from the point of like this is
Yes,
all
but that's why he
like,
tweeted Mel Kiper, which is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mel Kiper, I'm not sure if he's right or not. He made a case for it.
He did.
For Will Levis. I personally would be afraid to draft Will Levis that high because I'm just not sure about his accuracy. But his whole thing is, remember Josh Allen, and which is what you can say about Anthony Richardson too right now too, right?
Yes.
Incredible. Like they have all the tools, and I never thought like a guy like Josh Allen could get in the NFL and get his – but that's what Will Levis is going to have to do to me. He's going to have to get a lot better. Right.
By the way, we didn't talk about
that. To be a
good
NFL quarterback.
Do you think the Anthony Richardson decision to go to the draft right now is a good one? Because I don't.
I was very surprised by that.
No. I mean, I without exactly knowing the QB crop next year, I think he helps himself with another year. But he's in that same mold of Josh Allen and Will Levis in terms of, wow, you could put together a tape of the throws and the athleticism and be like, whoa, man. But also the consistency is, well, yeah, a little bit. But the consistency is not there at all. Well, sometimes it does work out. But to your point on the tweet about leadership, again, we're going to turn this, right, opting out of a bowl game into some comment on leadership. Please.
This is how it's going to be. At least this year. I think eventually we're going to all – it's going to become so normal that everybody's just going to accept it for what it is, other than college
football playoff
games. I thought
so, too. It's 2022.
I know. I think it's eventually going to happen.
Okay.
I think. Am I putting too much faith in humanity?
I hope you're right. I mean, hopefully Twitter just blows up.
Evaporates.
Anyway. I mean, I've been counting on this. Come on, Elon. Can you make this thing disappear?
Yeah, I kind of want it to blow up lately. It's been pretty bad.
I know some people who got off Twitter and they're like, life is so much better.
I did during Thanksgiving. It was the best decision ever.
See?
You've been talking about that for 2 years, though. You're still on
it. And I'm still constantly on it. Right.
Joe takes vacation. He's like, I'm going to try. I'll
I will give
you
credit. Like, Joe does not – he doesn't argue with people as much on Twitter anymore.
No, it's not.
It used to be a thing.
Worth it. Yeah, it's a – yeah, thank you. Thank you for noticing. I'd rather just hold off, not comment on that, and then take it to the radio show.
There we go. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Teron Davenport. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Jags and the wild week that has been for the Tennessee Titans. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No